We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
How I'm hitting the ball. I told you I had a case of the yips. I was like Steve Sachs trying to throw to first base
chipping,
from second.
Right? Chipping.
Yeah, chipping. And Eddie Vittmeyer fixed me, Ron. And now I can't wait to get out there. I want to play Pebble Beach at Shooters today at 5:30 p.m. I just scheduled a trip to Florida where I use my Marriott points. Aren't they a miracle,
They're
Ron?
They're a beautiful, beautiful thing.
They're a beautiful thing. They
How
truly
are, you,
are.
First of all,
really
you, weren't
happy
here
today.
You weren't here yesterday. Did you have a nice romantic getaway, just you and your wife? First of all, how did your daughter and Bailey make out without you guys?
They were fine. Everything was
they
good.
They probably had a better time without you.
Without
than
us,
with
yeah,
you.
Of course. She slept over at a friend's house. Bailey was with the Bailey sitter. And we were in Buffalo, a romantic getaway to a beautiful little venue called Babeville. It's a little church that was converted into a concert venue in Buffalo on a Tuesday night, Ron. Raul Malo.
Nice.
Raul Malo, the lead singer of the Mavericks,
nice
not the
Italian
Dallas Mavericks.
Dinner beforehand? What'd you
At
have?
At Chef's. I had the chicken parmesan. Everybody in the world goes to Chef's. It's one of those places where they
More
have.
More than the Anchor Bar.
Well,
Maybe
right
not
up there.
That much.
Right up there.
Right.
They have the pictures of the famous people eating lunch and dinner there. Ally McGraw's picture was right up to my right, Ron.
Love Story, right?
Yes.
Wasn't she in Love Story?
The French Connection, not the movie, the line of René Robert, Richard Martin, and Gilbert Perrault. They were up on the wall. And then we stayed at the Hyatt Regency downtown, an absolute ghost town in Buffalo. But it's a beautiful hotel. They have a lot of big events there. They
I've
have
been there.
NCAA tournament. You've been to the Hyatt?
I've been to the Hyatt.
Way what back. A nice place.
Yep. Sounds like you had a wonderful trip.
We rekindled
we
things,
you
Ron.
Yesterday.
We did you?
Yeah, didn't we, Maddie? Let's
of course
lie
we
to
did.
Him and say we missed him.
Yes.
What happened? Did Pomp come on?
No, but
how was Mike Emmerich?
Dr. Emmerich was tremendous, as usual.
What is he up to these
days?
Well,
He's doing a lot of stuff for NBC. They're doing special essays he's having him do, which only he could do so well.
But yes.
He was great, talking Pirates, talking McCutcheon, talking the Penguins, talking McDavid. We had a very nice, probably about 20 minutes. I was going to tell you the story about Doc. I'm very touched about this. I wrote to him last maybe Thursday, and I said, hey, Doc, any chance you come on with me Wednesday? I'm by myself. He writes back, oh, Ron, sorry, I've been so busy. Can you reach back out later February? Hey, Doc, I understand you're busy. Stay well. So this was Thursday. Sunday, I get a note from him. You got anything in the 10 o'clock hour on Wednesday? He thought enough to reach out to me again to come on in the 10 o'clock hour. I was
beautiful.
Touched. I was touched by that. I have a great relationship with him. I don't know how it developed, but he made me sad. He said he's not coming in for the Pirates opener again this year, 2 years in a
wow.
row.
Wow, I thought he might be for McCutcheon.
I thought so, too. We always sit together in the third row at the press box. He always sits next to me. It's a tradition we have, and I was telling Maddie yesterday, I don't ask for pictures with anybody. I think the only one I ever did was Muhammad Ali. Pete Diana, the late, great Pete Diana, took that picture. But we're at the last Pirates game, the last time he sat there in an opener, he says to me, Ron, do you mind if I take a selfie? He asked for the selfie. So I have the picture. It's one of my treasured possessions.
Nice.
Of Doc and me. He was fun, wasn't he, Maddie?
He was just fun.
That voice, you just miss it.
And I was saying to Ron right after the interview, even when he speaks and I know that things aren't scripted,
yeah.
He sounds like he's reading from a script, like in his mind, the way that he just puts all of his thoughts together in a nice little package for you and delivers it is amazing.
Very talented man. One of the all-time greats. Meanwhile.
You missed that. We had Mike DeCourcy on talking about Pitt Hoops. He's high on Pitt Hoops. Had him, most people had him, I guess, Lenardi had him 11th, like playing in the play-in
yes.
game
yes.
in Detroit against Penn State of all teams.
Oh,
that would be
great.
Fun. DeCourcy said he had him on the 10th line, a little higher. And now after that win last night at North Carolina, I got to figure they're climbing off of that bubble a little bit.
I know. I'm still kind of surprised that they were only on the last four in. So then when I saw that at the beginning of the game last night, I went like, wow, this is, game is a little bigger than I thought for Pitt, because for whatever reason, they haven't been thought of highly by the computers and voters and bracketologists. They just haven't been.
They were going over that a little bit on the ACC Network broadcast, and I don't think they ever came to a conclusion as to why that is, but they did mention
that
the computers don't like them.
Who at all? He said they have so much to gain if they win this game.
Yes.
And I said, what about if they lose? He goes, that won't hurt them, because nobody expected them to win. They were 8.5-point underdogs in that game. He said, unless they had got absolutely destroyed, he said that wouldn't have hurt their tournament resume losing. But
yeah,
he said winning is going to give it a big lift.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting, man? Even that they were 8.5-point underdogs last night?
That's what I saw.
I don't know what it is, why people don't believe in this team, but I love the fact that we can legitimately open today with Pitt hoops, Ron.
Yeah, we hardly talk about it the last, 5 years?
Yes. I love this. It was appointment viewing for me last night to come home, flick on the game at 7 o'clock, and then I kept thinking during the game, win or lose, this is great. It's a really likable team. It's a passionate team. They're playing a big game against a defending national finalist in North Carolina. It's back and forth at the end, the way you love to see college basketball. For at least now, for this little stretch of time, I don't even care about next year or later, for this little stretch of time, Pitt Hoops is back in terms of that, at least providing us winter entertainment with real games that mean something, and I loved it. But then there's this little Jason Capel dust up.
Yeah.
What happened here?
I don't get it. Did somebody, the official North Carolina basketball site,
yes,
sent out some,
yeah,
tweet that he took personally, that he thought they were trolling him?
Well, this stretches back. Obviously, he played at North Carolina,
right,
dreamed of playing there.
His brother played at Duke, obviously.
Right. Jason was a very good player at North Carolina. Helped them to a Final Four, by the way, where they lost to Florida. But apparently his strained relationship with the fans there, I guess you could say, happened when Jeff went and played North Carolina as the coach of Oklahoma. And Jason, I guess, had an Oklahoma jersey rooting for his brother, as you would expect.
The Oklahoma shirt on, yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So I guess that's where it started. And then last night, yeah, they, from their official NC basketball account, they sort of recreate the game day program, or maybe it was an actual photo of the game day program. It shows Creighton Lebo. He's a walk-on and the son of assistant coach Jeff Lebo, someone you normally would never see. And I didn't see any reason. There wasn't like a special story about him. But he wears Jason Capel's number 25, Pitt's in town, and it's him sticking his tongue out, like, I don't know, after a basket or something.
Yeah.
And it seemed to be certainly a shot at Jason Capel.
He certainly took it as a shot.
Yeah. I mean, what else would it be? What else was it than a shot at him?
And there was another incident last year.
I think kind of rather a lame shot, but he took it real personally, and apparently people could hear him and Jeff screaming outside the locker. I guess it was him more than Jeff screaming outside of the,
yeah,
locker room, like, you know, don't you dare troll me or something like that.
Right.
I mean,
well, it had in and of itself, maybe not a big deal, but there's history. What else happened, Fulzy?
Last year when they were in Chapel Hill and they beat them once again, Jason Capel was screaming at the fans saying how North Carolina was soft. I don't know if they were.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know how they were going at him all game, but he went right back after them.
Here's what I think of this. This is great. Pitt basketball, for this little tiny minuscule stretch of time, is back in stories like this. They're beating North Carolina. That's the
five
point.
Five of the last six times
it wouldn't matter. It wouldn't matter if they weren't.
Five of the last six.
They wouldn't bother to troll, right?
Three
Am
times,
I right about
wouldn't
that?
Be on
three
the radar.
Times in a row there. You know, I had read that Carolina had won 12 in a row at home since Pitt beat them last year at home. Now they beat them again. I what a great finish. I thought they were going to blow it. They were up like 7, right, with like 5 minutes left.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I remember Carolina.
They were also down by a lot before
Carolina hit the big three, tie it, and then they actually went ahead by one, and Pitt had the ball, chance to win, and what, Burton, 2 free throws?
Yes. Well, I mean, it was great. It was a great finish. But I love this. Pitt, this is what you want. This is you know, back in the days of Pitt-UConn, there would be beef between the teams. Calhoun ripping them.
Great.
Pitt ripping, whatever. This is what you want. I don't know about the particulars of this story, what's true and what's not. I don't care.
Right.
I love the fact that Jason Capel is yelling at North Carolina fans and that North Carolina basketball, the bluest of blue bloods, or right up there, is taking time to troll Pitt and then losing to Pitt. This is phenomenal, Ron.
And they're headed to the tournament. I mean, it would take a massive collapse for them not to make the tournament. And that was DeCourcy's point. He said they just can't lose games that they should win. And they don't have many games. You know, they got to play at Florida State, at Notre Dame. But they got some teams they should beat, especially at home. They're going to make the tournament. First time since when? Jamie's last year? Year before Jamie left?
I think they are. I mean, I thought they were in more solid position last night. The fact that Lombardi had them in the first
four. He has them in the play-in game.
That tells me that if they lose even one game here that they shouldn't lose, we might have to be worried again.
Yeah, but I think they're going to jump a little bit because of last night's win. The next bracket,
I hope.
The next bracket that comes out, I'll bet they'll be at least 10 or maybe even a 9.
Well, what cue?
They're skating on a little bit of thinner ice than I thought they would be or should be. But I think they're going to make it, too. But what if they get upset?
The ACC stinks this year, too.
I know. Well, that's the best news and the worst news.
The whole league doesn't probably get any respect because the conference is bad. Duke is bad.
Yeah.
Carolina is bad. I guess the only really good team is Virginia, and Pitt beat them at home.
And Miami's been ranked. Is Clemson ranked, too, or no?
I don't know if they still are. Pitt lost to them at home, could have won that game.
Yeah.
Ended up beating Miami and Virginia, now Carolina twice.
Carolina twice. So they play one ranked team, that's Miami. But I was surprised by their standing with Lombardi there, and it just tells me, my God, if they get upset by one of these teams, what if Louisville comes in and beats them?
Well, that would be would be a horrendous loss. That's DeCourcy was left. He goes, if they somehow lose that game, he said, Louisville stinks.
Yeah. I mean,
they're not going to lose it. They will not lose it at home. I think it's next Tuesday night.
Yeah. Bottom line, though, is if they get upset even once, I think there's cause to worry. That's the problem right now. The good news and the bad news is the ACC is down again. Although last year they sort of justified themselves in the tournament.
Yeah.
But it was a down year for the ACC, or
let's
so
see,
everybody
let's
thought.
Let's see what last night's – I don't know. When's his Lenardi's brackets come out? Every 2 or 3 days?
Does he come out real-time, Folsey, with these things?
I don't think
so. What were
so.
You going to say, Folsey, when I so rudely interrupted you?
I honestly don't remember.
It was good.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe,
I don't
Ron,
remember it.
I think it might have been good, what Folsey was going to say. How about the last play? You tweeted me a photo or texted me a photo of Sabandi. Was it him on that last play?
It was him on that last play.
With the block. Apparently some North Carolina people feel like that was a foul.
Of course.
The last play. It was questionable, but I always thought if you block through the ball, you're allowed to hit the hand. Did you like the sound effect there, Ron? He took a full swing block, too. I don't know that that was necessary.
It was pretty gutsy.
You don't get that call on the road.
Exactly, you know, and I didn't think Pitt got many down the stretch.
Pitt, they would have got that call. At Carolina, that was kind of a surprise.
I don't know that it's in your best interest to take a full swing for a block on that play, but he made the play, and I don't think he fouled on the play. But I'm like Ron, I wouldn't have been surprised if they whistled it. I didn't think Pitt got a lot of the whistles down the stretch. How about the back foul? Was that on Cummings? It was like a back check in hockey where you back into somebody and they flop and they called it. What the hell was that, Ron? Huh?
You're going to get home cooking when you're on a road.
Thankfully, it didn't get cooked till the end. Great play.
What a great
play by him.
Just a great, great, great win for them.
Yeah.
You know, this is a team that in the past has found ways to lose close games. Now they're finding ways to win. That comeback against Miami, I think, was maybe their best win of the year. I know they beat Virginia. But, I mean, that comeback win, they were dead. And they came back, a couple steals, won the game.
That was fun. That's another example, Ron. I was at Deep Creek with my friend Mark Ray, the guy who introduced me to golf, that I now beat regularly in golf. And we were
standing
there.
He's one of the few that you can say that.
watching our kids go tubing, and I had my phone, and we were watching the Pitt game. Would I have thought to do that at any point in Capel's tenure up till now? No. I would have intentionally avoided the Pitt game as a way to ruin my weekend. But this time, they've become appointment viewing. 412-928-9370. Ron, you brought up a good point the other day that, and let me see if I'm paraphrasing you accurately, that it might be difficult for some people to get behind a team or get familiar with a team when so many of the faces are new compared to, you know, the old Pitt teams where they developed over four or five years.
You got to know them a little bit. These guys now, most of them are going to be gone next year. It's going to be a one and done. And I'm not blaming Pitt for that. That's the nature of college basketball now. But to me, it's different, and it's not quite as much fun.
But I'm wondering if people now are starting to get used to the names. I know I am. The best of which, of course, is Federico, who was great last night.
He was
good all along.
So you start. That's what happens in a town. A team starts to win. You start to feel like you get to know the players. You get used to watching them, familiar with their games. They're fun, man. And then Nellie Cummings with the local flavor. His brother's going to be coming here. They're fun to watch. Sabandy is really fun to watch.
And you just enjoy the moment now more than ever because this team, as you just mentioned, is full of transfers. It's going to look drastically different next year. And so you just enjoy every bit of this season while it's here.
Exactly. 412-928-9370. Pitt basketball for the moment is back. We might be headed for an NCAA tournament game or two. That's the other thing, Ron. I think they're capable on a given night of beating a lot of teams. They don't have much inside power, although Federico was impressive yesterday. But if they shoot well, these guys are really good.
This team has been a shooting team. It can shoot well.
And they're confident, and they're brash, and they play hard. I love this team, Folsy. You?
Yes, and as you mentioned, Federico, I mean, Bacot really wasn't a factor for most of that game. I mean, I know that he ended up with 15 points, 11 rebounds, so the stat line says that he ended up turning it around. But he wasn't as much of a factor as I thought he would be, and that is a lot to do with Federico underneath.
Yeah, some of these guys, you know, were keyed to North Carolina getting to the national championship game, and as Ron mentioned, they don't lose at home. They were 10-0. Now they're 10-1. This is fun. I'm glad. I'm happy. How much Tom Brady talk did you do yesterday, Ron?
Oh, we did quite a bit.
May I do some with you?
I absolutely want to hear your thoughts on. I also want to hear your thoughts on trading a number one draft choice for a coach. Sean Payton hired by Denver. We should check in with Horse if he's happy with this deal.
I guarantee he is.
But they don't have any picks left. They gave it all up for Russell Wilson. Now they give up more for a coach.
When you have a coach and a quarterback, if they have a quarterback,
see, that's the thing.
That makes up for a lot.
He's brought in for one reason for me, right? To get Russell Wilson going.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, he is. And it brings up another question, too. What if the Steelers ever had an opportunity to trade Mike Tomlin?
We talked about that yesterday.
Lots of coaches have been traded over the years. It's like it's almost a normal thing. 7 or 8 prominent coaches in the NFL have been traded. So we can get into that, Ron.
I want to hear your thoughts when we come back on Tom Brady.
Let's do that.
That's a big story of the day, man.
I have a number on Brady that is absolutely incrinculant. I just wrote about that this morning, about how he tortured the Steelers. Really, there's one way I look at Brady, and I'll tell you what that is next and see if you agree. I'm curious to hear what came up for you guys yesterday topic-wise, because it feels like there's a million different topics on Brady. Best football player ever, best quarterback ever. I saw Mike Francesa went on yesterday. He's still doing his thing in New York. In fact, he did it with what's his name? Mad Dog. Who's Mad
Chris
Dog?
Chris Russo.
Yes.
Christopher Mad Dog Russo.
Did Folsy say that a little condescendingly, Ron?
Yeah, like you should have known it.
Yeah.
No.
Did you hear that?
I did.
His tone on that.
I did. I thought the same exact thing.
Like, man, you guys are touchy.
Like, you idiot. How did you not
exactly.
know that?
You are the most sensitive
men I've ever met. Go back and replay that in the next segment, Folsy.
No, I don't.
I mean,
I'm
that was unbelievable. Just dripping with condescension. Condescension?
By the way, speaking about sensitive, and we know you're not the least bit sensitive, we were talking about you yesterday at the start of the show. Were your ears burning?
What were you saying?
Yeah, maybe
question.
Maddie can find it for us.
Hmm.
The show opening yesterday.
Yes, yes, yes.
Can you find that?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm imagining it, Folsy.
This is what you missed.
But I want you to replay that next, and maybe, ironically, you have become sensitive over your insulting tone of voice. And we'll judge that next, whether in fact you are. Maybe I'm the one who's delusional. Maybe you have a little personality fixing to do. The nicest guy on
See
earth.
See what he does, Ron? He deflects everything. He's a constant deflector.
And never a flopper, too.
Yeah, never wants to face his own issues.
All right, so there's tension on the show. I feel it. It's only you and I are, what, second, third day back together?
Third.
Day is this?
This is Thursday. His fourth day, your third day.
Yeah. Really, two and a half? So we'll listen to that, Folsy. We'll judge next your tone of voice. I'm willing to admit if I was wrong, and I want to hear what you guys said about me yesterday. Because
it was all in good fun.
As the old saying goes, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean someone's not out to get you, right? And I feel like you two both are. And then with Brady, yeah, greatest quarterback ever. Francesa, that's where I was going there, said he's not the greatest Super Bowl quarterback ever. There's somebody better, and he's not the greatest regular season quarterback ever. Is he right about those things? Let's talk about all of this coming up. I'm very excited, Ron, for this.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Things have changed, and we probably have some house cleaning to do on the show. Folsy was gone for about a month.
Eight weeks, nine weeks, ten weeks, something like that.
He grew up a lot in that time, Ron. He became a dad. He looks different. And I get the sense he wants things to be a little different on the show.
He's kind of taken over a little bit.
Yeah. So maybe we just have to have a little bit of a heartfelt conversation among the three of us.
Like
first,
when we took him into that back room and he goes, oh boy, what's yes, up with this?
When he wanted to leave, yeah. Let's hear first of all how you guys opened the show yesterday and whether or not I should feel offended and come back with anything. I have no idea what happened here. Folsy, let's hear it.
All right, let's get this thing going. Good morning, Pittsburgh. A very good Wednesday morning to you. I'm Ron Cook, as you heard our man Matty Cole behind the glass say there's no Starkey today. Starkey took the day off, had a romantic dinner and concert in Buffalo with his wife last night, and they stayed over, and they're driving back today. Matt, I was thinking about this driving in today. Can you imagine being married to Starkey? What must that be like to be married to him, that maniac, for years and years and years?
You know, do you think he tones it down a little bit,
I don't
though?
Think he's capable of it.
Like, do you think that he has the same yelps? It has the same, you know.
Well, he said his yawns, his wife hates it. His daughter hates it.
Right. I feel like he might be on his best behavior at home, honestly. I think he releases it all his weirdness, all his quirkiness here.
You know.
Because he can't do it at home.
I've told this story before. He took his family to Arizona for a Steelers game a few years ago, and we all were on the same flight Monday after the game coming home, and you know, I'd never met his wife, and I walk up, and she sees me, and she immediately comes to me and hugs me and says, you have my sympathy. And I go, no, you have mine. And she goes, you spend more. We both knew what we were talking about.
Right.
And she goes, you spend more time with them than I do. You have my sympathy.
That I'm okay with.
So, you know,
nothing inaccurate there.
It was very loving. It was
very loving. Yeah.
And nothing that we haven't said to your face. It wasn't behind your back.
Exactly.
I think he used the word weirdness.
Sure.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, quirkiness, weirdness, whatever it might be. Also,
is it true?
What you said was true. You're very insightful from a psychological perspective.
We had fun. See, that's how we opened the show. We missed you so much.
Yeah. And a lot of this, the way I act in the office, in the studio, so to speak, partly it's because I don't want to be here, and partly it's because I am stifled at home from full acting out. So both of you insightful and in a sort of backward way, quite loving.
In a loving way.
Yeah.
I think that was our way
backhanded
of saying.
Backhanded way, I should
we
say.
We really missed you.
Yeah. And
we
I appreciate you. I took that as love. Still some tension, though. And I sensed it from Folesy. What I'm sensing, Ron Rising, I don't know if you're sensing the same. Is a horse-like, which would say Joe Cop-like, irritation at any requests I have. Folesy, could you give this guy a call? Folesy, the last segment.
Horse hated that.
Horse acted like I said, you know, horse, could I have your right hoof, you know? You know, he took every request for anything. Can you get that soundbite as if I was insulting him? And I don't even remember now what we were talking about last segment. What was the topic?
You asked me to remember a name, or you couldn't think of a name, and I graciously helped you
out.
Francesco's partner was.
Right, and
I sensed
Folesy, this felt like a poison-tipped dart. Not the opening yesterday felt like a series of felt-tipped darts. Very nice darts. This one had a little poison to it, Ron, unless I'm mistaken, and I'm willing to admit if I was. Let's hear it. What's his name? Mad Dog? Who's Mad
Chris
Dog?
Chris Russo.
Yes.
Christopher Mad Dog Russo.
Did Folesy say that a little condescendingly? Yeah. On second thought, Ron, it didn't sound that bad. Maybe it wasn't as bad as the first time. Yeah. Okay. I'm good.
See, you're a man.
I'm good, too.
You can,
yeah, everybody good? Ron, are you good with Folesy?
You can admit you're wrong. That's a big part of being a...
It's a big part of growing up.
The type of person you are. A wonderful person.
Are you okay with Folesy?
I'm okay with Folesy.
You okay with me?
Well, that's a little different, but we got along for 4 hours quite well yesterday.
All right. I feel good about this. I feel like we can move on.
Yeah, our vibes are good right now.
Yeah. We were going to get to Tom Brady. And all the different and various topics, and I apologize if we tread over some ground from yesterday.
People want to know what you have to say.
Well, here's what I have to say about him first and foremost. He's the most accomplished football player who ever lived. It's different from necessarily the greatest,
right,
but he's the most accomplished. Would you agree?
Winningest, maybe, too? For sure, winningest.
Yeah.
I think you can be the winningest, most accomplished player without being the best or most skilled. And I think he qualifies as the winningest, obviously, 7-3 in Super Bowls and most accomplished.
Yeah, and even if you go back to pre-Super Bowl days, a guy like Otto Graham won a lot of games, but I say only in comparison to Brady, won 3 NFL championships. Bart Starr, I don't know what he won, 3. Nobody's won 7, I don't think.
Right.
In any form, right?
I thought, how many did Otto win? I thought he won more than 3.
Did he?
Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe not.
I don't know.
I think they were in the, before the NFL, they were in that old American, whatever it was, football league.
Maybe that he won more. It says under his bio here, he won 3-time NFL champion. I don't know about what else he won. I don't know, Ron.
Okay. But whatever. Probably didn't win 7.
He didn't. I don't think he did. I don't think he won 7. Of course, back then, they had to win one game to win a title.
Right.
Brady had to get through 3, usually. Did he ever go through 4? Maybe with Tampa?
I think Tampa. Oh, maybe Tampa. I don't think he had to ever play 4 with New England.
No. I think he won the first time he went through 4 because they beat Washington, and then they had to win 2 more, Green Bay and the Rams, just to get to the Super Bowl. So, yeah, I would say the most accomplished, winningest, the most accomplished, Ron. He also won a bunch of MVPs, a bunch of Super Bowl MVPs.
It's without a doubt.
A bunch of championships.
It's inarguable.
Okay. So is he the greatest football player you've ever seen? Different question. And if not, who?
I would say no, he's not. I would say Jim Brown is probably the best football player I've ever seen. What he did, just in, I think 8 years in the league, 8 rushing titles. I would put him as a better overall football player. But, you know, more talent. I think you can come up with more talented quarterbacks than Tom Brady, who will never reach his level of accomplishments and wins. I think Patrick Mahomes has a chance to be remembered as a better quarterback. He's never going to win 7 Super Bowls. He's trying to win 2 next Sunday. But I think he could be remembered as a better, more athletic quarterback.
I think Brady...
And I could come up with a few others that I think would fit that category, but they'll never accomplish what Brady accomplished.
For me, he's also the greatest football player I've ever seen. He's not going to win, you know, an Olympic contest against other players. Other people in that group are Lawrence Taylor, Jerry Rice. I never saw Jim Brown. Lawrence Taylor, Jerry Rice,
right,
are two of the others. That probably the two others that really spring to mind.
Lawrence Taylor's probably the best defensive player of all time.
Rod Woodson is one of the greatest 5 to 10. Maybe 5 I've ever seen. I mean, come on. A guy who played corner at an elite, all-time elite level, safety all-time elite, return man all-time elite.
Yep.
He could cover, he could knock your head off, all of that. But it depends on what you value. I mean, Brady processed the game and could deliver any kind of pass you wanted at the most important position and won games at the most important position. To me, he's the greatest player as well. Not the most impressive athlete, but the greatest football player I've ever seen.
Well, most are judged by wins, and by that standard alone, he has to be considered that. I just think, you know, I just think there are better quarterbacks than him.
Who?
I told you, I think Mahomes has a real chance to be. I think, you know, Dan Marino might have been a better quarterback. John Elway, a better quarterback. But, you know, I think wins are how you're mostly judged. I think Ben was a better quarterback than Bradshaw, but Bradshaw won 4 Super Bowls. So it depends on how you look at it. I just think there's some guys out there that may be better quarterbacks, better athletes, better arm, whatever. But the bottom line is wins, and nobody did it better than Brady. Nobody.
Yeah, again, I guess it depends on what you value from that position. I think Brady would have won, might have won with the Dolphins where Marino didn't when he had the best team and was playing at home. I think he might have found a way to win some of those games. I think he might have won
maybe
where other guys didn't. I mean, he had a year where he had 50 touchdowns and 8 picks. In some ways, I think his pure talent gets underrated.
Probably.
The fact that
he just doesn't look the part.
Right.
He doesn't look like Elway.
Right.
You know, he doesn't look like Marino.
He definitely didn't have, obviously, the arm of an Elway or the release of a Marino or the all-around athletic ability of name a guy. You know, Aaron Rodgers, who won probably more regular season MVPs than Brady, right?
Yeah,
am I right about that?
Rodgers won 4.
So, but there's natural talent, and then there's implementing your talent within the game. And, you know, I remember Ray Horton telling me that, I think it was Brady and Manning was my question. Who's the guy that you guys fear more? He said, it's not even close. Brady's the greatest quarterback we've ever played as a defense. The greatest quarterback.
I had that same conversation with Aaron Smith, and he said, we can rattle Peyton Manning. We can't rattle Tom Brady.
Yeah.
I'll never forget him saying that.
He had everything.
Same deal.
He had everything except like the scrambling ability. He had everything else, and he wound up not needing that because he processed the game so quickly that it didn't matter. You know, I saw games where he would get killed and take hits to make plays or just process it so well that he didn't have to take hits. Look what he did in Tampa, Ron. I didn't even realize this till I just looked at it. He had 240 touchdown seasons.
Well, I mean, that to me is the crown to his career. Leaving Belichick and the Patriots and winning another championship.
His first 2 years in Tampa, he had 83 touchdown passes and 24 interceptions and almost 10,000 yards passing.
Now, do you agree?
Wow.
Do you agree it's time? that this is the right call by him to retire?
Yes.
He didn't look like the same quarterback down the stretch last year.
No. Well, for me, it was specifically in one game. And that's what I led my column with today, is that he made the right call here. Do we agree he's going to stay retired? I do.
I do. I think so. And I mentioned we all should have that retirement parachute that he has, $37.5 million to broadcast Fox's games next year.
Yeah.
That would make it a little easier for me to step away.
Yeah, I think.
Although he got emotional yesterday talking about it. You know, you could see it in his way. Who was it? Somebody, Schefter or somebody tweeted out, or Ravel maybe, during, like in December, when he said half of his life he has been playing football. Literally half of his life. He played 23 years. He's not 46 yet.
Yeah.
When you do something that long, you step away from it, it's going to be emotional. But I'd like to step away from you, Joe, much as I love you, for $37.5 million.
Yeah. But I think it was more one game than anything else. I mean, three games ago, he passed for 430 yards and three touchdowns and no picks against Carolina. He was 39 of 52 against Mahomes this year for three touchdowns and no picks. There was definitely a little bit of erosion, but he was also playing on a crappy team and all his receivers were hurt and his linemen.
Do you see
But that night, Ron, like a boxer, like a great boxer, that was the night he lost it. And I think his own ego, and I say this as a compliment, his own ego is going to keep him from being Joe Namath on the Rams. He finished like Ben finished. Still very, very respectable. Could still beat you. He never embarrassed himself.
Wasn't the same.
In that game, that night.
Do you think if the Vegas Raiders call on him, he could be persuaded?
No, for that reason. Okay. I think he knows.
I think he's done.
I think he knows. That night against the Cowboys, he was, I don't know, pick a great boxer who the one night, you know, they don't want to get punched anymore.
Throw
they couldn't
the
take
towel.
A punch anymore.
Throw in the towel.
That was it, man. He doesn't want to be Willie Mays at the end, and he won't be. We'll still remember him. My God, his final year here, he passed for 4,600 yards, 25 touchdowns. What was he in the league for yardage? Top five? I think so.
I think he has the most, doesn't he?
No, for this year.
Oh.
I think he was fourth in the league in passing yards, and he only threw nine picks, 25 touchdowns on a crap team, by the way. So then another question arises, Ron. And Folesy, where do you put him in your young life? Is he the greatest player, the greatest quarterback you've ever seen?
I mean, I can't go anything else but him. I mean, the one guy that maybe is most impressive just watching games, and I know it's Ron's favorite guy, is Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
I mean, just the release, the accuracy, year after year. I mean, the guy just came off of two MVP seasons.
Four
40-plus touchdowns.
Yeah.
So he comes close. But it's hard for me to separate the accomplishments, the winning that Tom Brady did, rather than just like the pure athlete or the pure quarterback. It's hard for me to go against Tom Brady because of all that.
There's one number that stands above all. I'll tell you what that is next. Top of the hour, Josh Rountree was in North Carolina, am I right,
for that
game last night? Let's talk to him about some Pitt basketball and being in that environment. Maybe he witnessed some of the insults being hurled back and forth between Jason Capel and the North Carolina faithful, and also some Steelers questions. He's one of our intrepid Steeler reporters. So Rountree, top of the hour. Here's the... There's many ways to quantify Brady's career, and all of them just blow your mind. I mean, he has seven Super Bowl wins. The next best franchise, which is this one, has six. And is it me? Do you guys agree that Brady always seemed to take a special glee in beating the Steelers? And I've always thought that it was because I think it's a compliment to them. He identified them as the NFL standard bearer. You know, as his career went on, they raised their total to six Super Bowl wins. I think he identified them as the franchise to beat in the most important category of all, Super Bowl wins, and darned if he didn't do it by himself, 7-6.
Yeah. No doubt, I think. But, I mean, he only played them, what, twice in AFC championship games? I mean...
Three times.
That's right.
He got hurt the one time, but did get credited with the win.
Le'Veon's game, that was against them too.
Yeah.
When Le'Veon got hurt. I mean, but yeah, he totally owned them. But to me, it wasn't just him that have been a big part of this playoff drought that they've had, if that makes any sense. Other teams have beaten them too. People think, well, he owned the Steelers in the playoffs, but he really didn't own them that much. Didn't play them that many times, right?
There's never been a quarterback in the history of the league except for Elway against the Browns, who's 3-0 against another team in AFC title game or any conference title games.
Yeah. No, he owned the Steelers, certainly. And when they beat him, it was a big deal. When they beat him, that Halloween game when they beat him,
yeah,
it was a big deal to them because
Very
they
big.
Beat him.
Very
right.
big.
Absolutely.
He owned his highest career passer rating against any AFC team against the Steelers. He not only derailed maybe their greatest non-Super Bowl team. They were 16-1 the one year when he derailed them at Heinz Field. But Ron, he also forced them into the second seed in the AFC in the Jesse James game. Remember that?
Yeah.
And that forced them to play surging Jacksonville instead of Tennessee, which was not a very good team. So the Patriots had an advantage there. He may have cost them a trip there. Who knows? Of course, he probably would have beaten them on the way.
Did he cost them that trip, though, or did the officials cost? Well, they called the rule.
I mean, they interpreted the rule correctly.
They interpreted the rule correctly, and that's why the rule was changed, right?
And he had that late-game drive to me, beat them. I don't know if there's been many guys who have owned a team the way he owned the Steelers.
Well, they beat him in his last game, the last
they
time
did
they
do
played
that.
Him. Now, if they'd have given him the ball back at the end, I'll bet they wouldn't have.
I agree with that.
I'll bet they wouldn't. They ran out, the last 3 or 4 minutes of
yeah,
that game?
At least.
You know, and although he did nothing against them the entire game, but I think if they'd have given him one more shot, he'd have found a way.
And more to the point, he embarrassed them on multiple occasions. A very proud franchise. He delivered to them their worst beating in Pittsburgh Steelers history, 55 points and 610 yards.
I was there for that one. That's when I walked up to Troy, and he goes, Ron, was it as bad as it looked? And I go, every bit. And he goes,
or worse.
He goes, I knew it. That was the worst defensive game in Steelers history.
He delivered it. He also beat them in the Anthony Smith game. Here's his numbers. By the way, he beat them in the Anthony Smith game. And afterward, Belichick, in a very unusual move, ripped an opposing player. When he said, we've seen better safeties than that, I'll tell you that much. That was Belichick. And I guarantee you, I didn't have time to look this up, but I can promise you that in the history of the league, at least against a decent team, there's no quarterback who owned a team at home the way Brady did the Steelers.
These numbers, the interception TD ratio is incredible.
In Foxborough, he was 6-0. And he completed 72% of his passes, 21 touchdowns, zero interceptions, and 128 passer rating. And maybe the most telling number of all is the one time he missed a game against them in Foxborough, the Steelers win 33-10.
Yeah.
The one time.
With Matt Cassel.
With Matt Cassel's made of sand.
That's
yes.
The only time they beat Belichick and Brady there, right?
Unbelievable. Ron.
And it wasn't Brady.
But here's the thing I wanted to get to. And I think this is only true of Brady, maybe in the history of all sports. Jordan comes close, but he only really played 3 years or four when he came back after baseball. Brady had two Hall of Fame careers, not one, two, and he engineered two dynasties. So in the early 2000s, he won three Super Bowls. And he passed, get this, in his first 10 years, 2009, he won three Super Bowls. He passed for 30,000 yards and 225 touchdowns. That's just part one. That's more than Bradshaw or Kurt Warner, the touchdowns. Two Super Bowl MVPs. If his career ends then, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, correct?
Yes.
Then the Patriots lose for a little while. At least lose the biggest games. Part two is the 2010s. So if Brady, forget about part one, if he just starts the next 10 years, he passed for 43,000 yards, more than Montana or Kelly. 316 touchdowns, more than Elway or Fouts. This is just part two. And was twice named Super Bowl MVP again and engineered first, another dynasty.
Would have been a first ballot Hall of Famer if that's all he had done.
You can take part one or part two. He had one of the greatest quarterbacking careers in both.
So another three Super Bowls in the 2010s?
No, yes.
No doubt.
And then you add what he did in Tampa.
That's just a little
that
cherry.
That to me is the topper.
It's incrinculant,
that's
Ron.
The topper to me. You know, all the debate, who's more responsible, Belichick or Brady? He leaves and goes and wins a championship with Tampa.
In his first year. And he goes through Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, right? Did they beat Brees in the playoffs? I think they did. He goes through Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, and who'd they beat in the Super Bowl?
Mahomes.
And Mahomes.
Kansas City. Remember the defense getting after Mahomes?
Aaron Rodgers, Brees, and Mahomes.
Pretty good.
I want to ask you guys later in the show if Mahomes is, for teams like the Steelers, the next Brady. Like, oh my God, we're going to have to get through this guy for how long? 15 years? Now the Steelers
I truly believe he has a chance to be remembered as the best.
Yeah.
I truly believe. I think he does stuff I've never seen.
Yeah.
Now again, he's never going to win 7 Super Bowls. I get that.
He might get up to 2 this year,
yeah,
and he's only 27.
3 and 5 years. You know, he could win his second Super Bowl MVP this year.
Yeah.
He's going to win his second league MVP this year. I just think he has a chance. Again, if it's strictly wins and losses, he will never match Brady. But just my eyes tell me, I look at this, I'm watching something I haven't seen before.
Well, his first 5 years, he's outdone Brady, has he not?
Right. But I don't know that he's going to play till he's 43 or 44 or 45 either. But
I don't know. The scary thing is with Mahomes is he's also a brilliant quarterback like Brady who processes the game.
He sees the game.
And he just beat somebody the other day on one leg. Right. So if that's a precursor to a late career Mahomes, he can beat you any way he chooses.
Yep.
He'll beat you from the pocket. He'll do all his magical stuff. He'll beat you with his brain. He'll beat you a million different ways. Now, the Steelers did sneak in a couple Super Bowl wins during Brady's time and 3 trips to the Super Bowl, but that's because they had Ben, mostly.
And a great defense.
But they never had to go through the Patriots, and that was constantly on your mind if you were a Steeler fan. Oh, my God, we have to get through Brady. How long is Mahomes?
He is in their minds. The Jacksonville game, they were talking about looking forward to the next week against New England.
Yeah.
Tomlin started at 2 or 3 weeks before the playoff.
Right.
Game.
He was we'll always on their mind.
New England. It was all New England, and then he didn't show up against Jacksonville.
Or is the guy in their own division going to be the guy they have to worry about even more than Mahomes for the next 15 years? Let's talk about that later. Josh Rountree was at the Pitt game last night. I wonder if he got involved in the little kerfuffle. Or is it kerfuffle, Fulzy?
Well, no, we had this discussion 2 days ago, and I don't think we ever came to a conclusion.
Yeah, I don't think we ever did. We'll ask Josh about that perhaps next as well. He was in the crowd last night in North Carolina.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.